You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our ImpactVest Alliance, a CEO roundtable. And it's really a pleasure for me to welcome very successful entrepreneurs to our roundtable today to talk about bridging access to technology across the African continent. So let's get started with introductions. And so I'll start with you, Mayowa.
Hi, Aisha. It's a pleasure to be here once again. I'm Mayowa Abijire, CTO at Calibotics. Calibotics is essentially a robotics company, and we're building solutions in the area of circular economy, manufacturing, and education. The main goal of Calibotics is to use robotics and mostly fourth industrial revolution technologies to bring many people out of poverty in Africa.
Thank you. Yes, I think we're going to have a very interesting discussion about what you're working on. And Tolulupe, would be great to hear from you.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Hi, Aisha. My name is Tolulupe Falola. I am managing partner at Digiscape, a female-led multidisciplinary energy company in Nigeria with a niche in renewable energy. We currently have a track record of about 4 megawatt solar solutions. And our objective, our goal as a company is to bridge the gap in energy access in Nigeria and scale to other countries in Africa. Thank you.
And we're going to go to Fidelis, who is also in our roundtable, for a quick intro.
Okay, I'm Fidelis Mashonga. I'm the CEO and founder of Sunplugged Energy. So we're a business that distributes low-cost renewable energy solutions to communities living in the rural areas in Africa. So currently we're working in Zimbabwe, and we're working on an expansion into Malawi and Zambia.
Yes, and so I think you have really excellent viewpoints and perspective on what it takes to actually bridge access to technology across Africa. Our first question here is, when we're speaking about bridging access to technology across the African continent, what do you think is the main criteria that investors need to be aware of when entrepreneurs are scaling their businesses, building their products and services in order to scale access?
So I think for me, I would go and I would say that the first thing I would say investors need to be aware of in terms of scaling access in Africa is the landscape is different, right? It's the environment. It's the need, you know. Most times we have data being thrown at investors. In Nigeria, for instance, you hear things like, 250 million Nigerians, and then you think it's a ready market, or you think, oh, that's a ready market. But where are we right now? Where is the environment? Where is the market? What are the needs, you know, and where do we need to start from? Because it can also be very easy where an investor is coming from a very westernized, highly developed climb, and thinking, oh, you know, this is where you are. We need to jump from A to Z. But I think it's very important that investors understand that the environment, the factors in Africa is entirely different. And we need to scale, we need to build, it has to be precept upon precept. And it also has to be tailored to what we need with a big vision. You know, so I would say in terms of scaling access to technology, for instance, as an energy expert, one of the bedrock and the core foundation of any kind of technology or whatever you want to start, or even driving economic growth, is power, is access to power. So you need to look at the external factors, what is available, what can we build on, where can we start, you know, and what is the require, what is the need right now, what is the need of the people right now. I think that's very important, that they're able to see that and connect the dots.
And that's an excellent point. And so how do you think entrepreneurs can allow investors to identify those needs? Because they're highly specific with the country we're speaking about, the cultural context, the sort of impact targets that we're focused on. So from the investor side, how can entrepreneurs enable them to be able to identify the needs that will assist them and inform them in terms of deploying their capital?
All right. Okay. I would say that, yes, in Africa, we have a country risk. We have political risk. We have currency risk. I mean, right now, if you're looking at currency risk, is actually one of the main deterrents to investment flow in Africa. I mean, in energy access, I think data shows that only 2% of total pledges around the world, only 2% of it flows to Africa. And we all know why, right? However, I believe that Africa is still very young, and Africa is a growing economy that right now anyone investing in Africa, it has to be for the foreseeable future. So the first, one thing that I like to say to investors is, we Africa, don't be myopic. You need to really want to build for you to come to Africa, because it's not just a region or a continent where you just maybe for VCs, where you just want to make margins or you just want to make a lot of money. You have to be a visionary. So I would say that it's really important that we have the right type of capital, and you know, the type of capital that also seeks out to impact, you know. So can we have like impact investment hand in hand, rather than just mainstream investing where you're looking at VCs and, you know, you're looking at big margins and all of those kind of things. With Africa, impact and investing has to go hand in hand, you know. So yeah, you definitely have the country risk, but you need to be a visionary investor for you to come to Africa. So always think the big vision, always think long term for you to come to Africa, because I mean, you probably be on this continent and you want to build, because at the point we're all at a tipping point in Africa and we need to build, right? That's one of the reasons why we're all on this call, scaling access technology and all of these things. So it's not, you can't afford to have a short-term mindset of being short-sighted about what is required. So I think for me, one of the things, any investor coming to Africa, scaling or providing funds into Africa, you have to be visionary. It has to all be about the big picture.
Yes, and I do think that investing on the African continent and throughout the global South requires investors to be very visionary and to be able to see the future of sustainable investing, which is on the African continent, and to build together with entrepreneurs. This takes partnerships between investors and entrepreneurs to really build the sustainable future that we need. And getting back to the part of bridging access to technology, and I'll go to, and so being able to bridge access to technology going from the point that there is a need to fill the gap in terms of access. What kind of access is needed in order to scale toward the technology solutions that will build the sustainable solutions for the future?
Okay, I think I agree with Tolu Lokwe, the market here around here is, should I say, extremely segmented. So when you're coming in as an investor, you really need to come with an open mind and come ready to learn, because basically any sector you're dealing in here in Nigeria is very segmented, and you have to go through a lot of zigzags and all that. You have to be ready to learn and ready to navigate, ready to dedicate your time and energy to it. It's not like you just come in and you're out with the money. You need to have that mindset that, oh, want to make something happen here, and you have to be like a visionary, like she said. So in terms of technology, I think one thing I've noticed is, okay, founders around here, they are like, should I say, over-mentored and underfunded. So one thing, if you really want to see technology grow around here, you really need to fund the little projects. I think we discussed this in the podcast we had, and it's very important to know that these people need money, no matter how small. They need some funds to build, to support them, to take care of the little expenses. That's the only way you can see development from them.
And so it's also the need of maybe microfinance solutions or differentiated fund models that allow for the possibility of funding MVPs or companies that may have different requirements.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really important point, because then we're speaking about fund models that have to shift, that allow for the differentiation of capital and what is actually needed to fund companies who want to be able to scale sustainable solutions that may require a different financing model. And going back to the differentiated financing models that reflect the needs on the ground, how do you think this is actually, when you're speaking to investors, how do you communicate this need to them of maybe being more flexible in their time horizons, offering kind of smaller amounts of capital or funding models that reflect the local markets, right? So how do you start those conversations with investors?
Okay, for me, the first thing you need to do is to identify networks, communities, conferences, events where you have these investors. Now, investors differ and they're different categories. So, you have angel investors, you have VCs, you have institutional investors, they're different categories, they're different tiers. So it's really identifying the right place to meet them, I guess the first thing is to have like a compelling 3-minute kind of pitch where you can tell them your product, the challenges that you are, whatever solution that you have about your product and all of that, and the value add, what makes you unique. I think right now, a lot of people are looking to invest in things that are disruptive, that are able to bring a difference, but is disruptive, what makes this product stand out, and what exactly is it addressing? Now, most investors will also want to know in terms of, so whatever, what are the targeted solution? Does it also align maybe with SDG goals or impact or whatever they have in mind that they want to solve? Because I might be an investor, but I'm not a philanthropist, So where exactly is this money going to? Where exactly is this money going to be doing? What is the target segment and all of that? So I think the first thing is to identify the communities, the networks and all of that. Have your 3-minute pitch ready where at a goal, you're able to say, this is what I'm doing, this is what I've done, this is the target, and this is the traction made and your ask. I sat down with at a panel with investors. I'm not an investor, but I could hear them speak. Oh, we have different people pitching to us every day. So what is going to really make you stand out? What are you asking for? What do you need? What kind of support? And I totally agree with what Mayowa said, that in Africa, we really have over-mentored. Everybody feels like, the only thing that you need is mentoring, and then you have all of these discussions, and then you have founders, you have ideas that kind of go obsolete or die in natural death without having the required funding. I also believe that it is investors need to have an open mind and be able to test the market. If you don't test Africa, you won't know. You will just sit down and believe that this is what happens, without having evidence or empirical evidence, or, you know, if you don't test the market, so there has to be like a test validation. There has to be like a validation of idea, data, and test the product, you know. So I think that that's what I have to say.
Yeah, and I think that's such an excellent point. And focusing on the technology aspect of being able to bridge access, what do you think is the technology that is needed? There are many conversations about new technologies on the market. We heard a lot about the metaverse and VR. What do you think is the type of technology that needs to be funded on the African continent?
I think with AI, we've seen products like the ChatGPT, a very powerful product. We have many other large language models like that coming up. I think Africa would definitely benefit from investing in AI, yeah, in building products and research in that area. And it could be useful in practically almost every sector I can think of: health, manufacturing, security, education. So I think AI is an area we really need to pay attention to.
And what do you think are the benefits of investing?
Sorry, Aisha, can I also add to what Maya just said?
No, sure.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of technology, I believe that investors should be targeting technologies in Africa that actually solve one of the critical problems. So if you look at the landscape in Africa, we have their solutions required for healthcare, for education, for infrastructure, for power. So any technology that is driving these sectors, these critical sectors of the economy, because at the end of the day, what technology is supposed to do is to drive economic growth, is to revolutionize growth in Africa. So if you are, so I believe that there has to be like targeted sectors, education, healthcare. Today we have, I mean, a massive brain drain. I believe that, yes, there's technology that can bridge the gap where you have like AI, telemedicine, and all of these kind of things. So the right technology to be funding at this time is anything that is able to solve the critical problems that Africa is facing, that, and then that will cause a shift, because we are at the climax of that shift. That shift needs to happen now, ahead of all this net zero and all these pledges and all this global transition that is really changing the landscape of the economy in Africa. So investors should be looking at value add solutions that can cause a shift, that can also address critical sectors for growth.
Yeah, and that I think is the aspect of value add technologies and value add AI that is critical, I think, for investing on the African continent and towards sustainable solutions, because it's this intersection of technology and sustainability and how technology actually enables sustainable solutions to be scaled, to be built, and what is its role there. And I think that's such a crucial conversation to be had when we're speaking about impact and sustainability, bridging access to technology and through technology to be able to scale sustainable solutions. It is the value add of technology there and what its purpose is when we're speaking about scaling sustainable companies. So we've spoken about the investor conversations or funding models that reflect the reality of the local markets and then the type of technology that needs to be funded. What do you feel are the gaps at the moment in terms of investing in technology, the gaps that you see that need the most work on from both the investor side and stakeholders within the local markets?
I think right now, 4IR technologies are not getting enough attention. I don't know. So I think Western investors are more risk averse and able to take that risk of investing in quite innovative, futuristic startups. But investors around Africa here are not willing to put their money into something that is just so abstract to them at the moment. So I think it needs more focus. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's an interesting topic. Also, the investors who are considered more risk averse than others, and like we spoke about before, the perception of risk, and that really depends on the investor you're speaking to. But also in terms of risk management, risk perception, those are really important narratives that to be able to confront and to be able to modify and change, right? Because when we're speaking about investing in sustainability and impact on the African continent and throughout the global South, and then bridging access to technology simultaneously, we have to take into account that it may be a different risk profile, but maybe it's a risk profile that can be mitigated in many different ways that the investor has not considered, right? So those are conversations, I think, through being able to identify the technology that we need to invest into to scale sustainability solutions, that can be a kind of mitigation of risk for the investor. And what are your plans for all of your companies to be able to scale, to be able to bridge this access to technology? How are you all working on bridging access to technology through your own companies?
Great. So I wanted to maybe just take you back a little bit. So what I want to talk about is on the technologies that are the emerging technologies. You had asked a question on what type of emerging technologies should Africans, should investors be investing in, either on the African continent or in different. Talk about is we have problems in Africa that many countries or many of these Western or Asian or countries or investors do not have. So what we need to focus on maybe should be on how do we get to the level or to the levels that these countries are in? Because I understand ChatGPT, I understand these emerging technologies that we need to have them. They're very good. But I work in the rural areas. My company is based in an urban setup, but I work in the rural areas. ChatGPT might not work for the one person that's down there. So what I think is the technologies that we need to invest in should be technologies that bring our people out of poverty, that bring our people in. I know investors probably at some point do not want to invest in these things that are proven. So I think that proven distribution technologies are the technologies that need to be invested in Africa first, so that we can get to that level where we can use this emerging technology that's coming. I understand that many companies or many or CEOs and entrepreneurs in Africa were working on very sophisticated tech, and this is quite good. But what I implore is that we need to get to that level where everyone can benefit, because right now most of the technology is only benefiting our residents in the urban areas or in the cities. So we are living behind. We're creating a gap between those living in the cities and those living in the rural areas. And most of our people are in the rural areas, and we need to get those out of poverty. So any investment that's coming into Africa, I think it needs to cater for both those that are living in the urban areas and those that are living in the rural areas. I'm sorry for taking you back, but I feel like I needed to say this point because it's something that I really think that if done properly, we can be able to even not get our raw areas to become city, but at least to understand the emerging technologies that we're trying to bring to them. But let's give them energy. Let's give them access to clean water. Let's give them the basics. So if we put investments into all those things, then we can be able to put connectivity there and say, we're investing in that, and they can appreciate that. But if you put connectivity or these fancy stuff to these rural people, they don't understand it. And we are then creating this gap, this divide between the urban areas and the rural areas.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, Fidelis. I think the difference between emerging technologies within the rural areas and the urban areas. How would we be able to identify which emerging technologies are needed for rural areas and for urban areas? If kind of speaking to investors, how would they be able to identify The different technologies that are needed, the metrics that they have to look for. You spoke about the need for clean water, different challenges within the rural areas that require different technologies. And I think this is so important to focus on because this is an area for investors, they just may not know where to identify the needs there, right? And so what are the criteria that you think investors should be looking for if they're looking for the emergence of new technologies within rural areas?
I believe that it should be it should be both. So I'm not saying that investors should look only at the rural areas. I'm also advocating for investors to look at companies that are also investing in emerging tech that can help the people living in urban areas. So what we need to do as CEOs, as entrepreneurs who are running businesses, startups that are trying to solve these impact issues, we need to look at where we fit as a company. So if investors are going to be coming into the country or into Africa and say we want to invest, but we don't know where it would make most impact. So if they're impact investors, probably let's put them where we need them the most. If they're venture capitalists want to make money, let's put them where we think they would make money, but they would also create value for our people. But what I've come to realize working with different entrepreneurs across Southern Africa is that what you end up getting is an investor coming into Africa and they talk to an entrepreneur, and that entrepreneur just wants to make money. That's the goal. And that's not a bad thing. We're all in this to make money. But if we put the right investor, if they're impact investors, let's put them in where they make the most impact. And this is the rural areas. And if that's within their funding thesis, then that's a win. And if not, we put them where they want. But the criteria shouldn't be, let's just focus on the new emerging technologies. Even the proven technologies that have been working, that have been used, and we can replicate them in other areas, then let's do that. Because that then creates impact for our people, and that also creates value for our people. So I don't know, Maiwa, you had a different opinion, or I don't know, you wanted to say something.
I think I get your point. I understand what you're saying perfectly, and it makes a lot of sense. Okay, for instance, but I still believe that emerging tech like AI, you can find uses for AI anywhere. It doesn't have to be an urban area for it to be useful. For instance, I'm working on a startup I co-founded, Epoch Zero. So what we do is we build AI models for radiology. And these models allow radiologists to make better decisions and make faster decisions. So let's say you have an X-ray scan, you can just impute it in our software and you see the AI suggestions and all that. So one area we're focusing on now is tuberculosis, which is very common in rural areas. So we're planning to actually deploy this software in rural areas. So that's one way in which AI can actually benefit rural areas too.
And this focus on being able to identify the technologies that are currently working now and maybe to enhance them and amplify them rather than just the search for new emerging technologies is a really important part of the discussion also, because technologies, our current technologies, can be used in many different ways toward sustainability solutions that you're both speaking about that can really solve many of the issues, the global issues that we're facing. And so maybe what we're speaking about is finding different uses of technologies rather than the constant search for new emerging technologies. And so this has been a really insightful discussion about bridging access to technology, what is needed, what investors should look for, the questions that they should be asking. and the different funding models that still need to be created that reflect the local markets and the local landscape of what entrepreneurs really need on the African continent. So I want to thank all of you for being at our roundtable. It's so important when we're speaking about closing the SDG financing gap to speak about what is really needed on the ground from entrepreneurs like yourselves. And so thank you for being
here.
Thank you.